Thankful for the opportunity to be able to worship with you this morning, to be able to engage in a study of God's Word. We miss Tim, look forward to his being back with us next Lord's Day in the pulpit preaching from God's Word. But since he's not here this week and he's in Limestone County, it's fallen my lot to speak this morning. Pray that it will be beneficial to us all. As was mentioned earlier, to those who may be visiting with us, we're so thankful that you're here. We look forward to maybe you're coming back if you're in the immediate area and possibly becoming a part of the Lord's work here at Somerville Road. If you're from out of town, we'd love to have you stop by anytime you're through this area and worship with us. We're glad that you chose to be with us today. We've been singing of redemption's sweet song, the redemption that God has provided. Maybe it would be good for us to just study God's plan of redemption, to help us understand it, its importance, how it was developed, and what is involved. God's plan of redemption is something that we need to look at very carefully. The Bible has a purpose. It has a plan, and it has a theme. And to understand that plan and that theme and its purpose is to understand the story of man's redemption. Many times we need to realize that the source of our authority in whatever we are studying, especially when it comes to God's will, is that we realize that the Bible is a perfect unit. There are no contradictions within God's Word. He is truth, and there is no contradiction with truth. Because of that, we see that a general study of the whole will help us to understand any one part. A lot of people say, well, I just can't understand the Bible. They'll pick it up and let it fall open at some place, and they'll start reading some Bible event or some lesson that is being presented. And they don't know the background. They don't know the overall view. And so it's important for one to be able to understand any one part of the Bible is that they have an understanding of the overview of the whole will of God and the plan that is revealed within those pages. When we can do that, then we're able to pick at these various short passages or short places and be able to fit them into God's plan in the proper place, and then we get understanding. The New Testament clearly reveals God's plan to us. All we have to do is to read it, to make application to our lives. That's not always the case. It's not always the case that God's plan was clearly revealed to mankind, because it remained a mystery long before the cross. In Romans, the 16th chapter, in verse 25, now to him who is able to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest by the prophetic scriptures, made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, the obedience to the faith, to God alone wise be glory, through Jesus Christ forever. Or we can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7 beginning, going through verse 13 as it speaks of this mystery that was kept from us. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, Paul writes, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered the heart of man the things God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Brother Max read Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 5, as it spoke of the mystery. He says in verse 3, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I had briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. So there were things that were hidden, things that were not known for a long period of time, and God would reveal them eventually. Thus, before the apostles and prophets of the New Testament revealed it, it was known only to God. This plan of redeeming man, God kept it to himself. He revealed it little by little as we go through the Old Testament. A little more is revealed to us. A little more is made known to mankind. First hint that God had a plan for man's redemption, of course, is found in Genesis, the third chapter. God created man with the ability to choose whether he would obey or disobey. And this ability of choice left man to be a free moral agent to do so. God's law to Adam and Eve was given in Genesis, the second chapter, verse 15 beginning. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For on the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. We know how that Satan came amongst them, tempted them by the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And they succumbed to making the choice to disobey God and to eat of that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know, this is the same way Satan tempts us today through the same avenues. In 1 John 2 and verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. These are the three avenues in which we see sin entering into our life. It is important for us to understand that so that we can guard against those temptations. Because of Adam and Eve's choice to violate God's law, they were punished. God had said that in the day they ate of that fruit, they will surely die. They died spiritually. They were separated from God. And also, at the same time, being separated from the tree of life, they no longer were able to live for eternity. And so they began to die physically as a result of that. No one is born guilty of Adam's sin. There are a lot of people in the religious world would have you believe that when a baby is born, that he's born in sin, that he's guilty of Adam's sin. And therefore, they practice infant baptism as a result of that. Nor is anyone spiritually dead because of some sin their parent or grandparent may have committed or sins they may have committed. We die spiritually because of our own sins, those that we choose to commit. In Ezekiel 18 and in verse 20, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. And so we are held responsible for our own sins. We're not charged as being guilty of sins that may have been committed by our parents or grandparents. God holds us accountable concerning the choices that we make individually as whether we're willing to obey or disobey. And we're held accountable for those decisions. Spiritual death is the penalty of sin. So whenever we sin, spiritual death, we become separated from God as a result of that. In Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. All have sinned. We looked at Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we've got a pickle. We're in a predicament. Everybody sins. And that sin brings about spiritual death. It separates us from God. What would man do about that? Well, man cannot save himself. Man cannot devise a plan of his own that would bring salvation in the eyes of God. In Jeremiah, the 10th chapter and verse 23, we're told, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. God in His love, God in His great mercy, provided a plan of salvation. With that plan, we have Christ fulfilling the plan that God devised. And the Holy Spirit then revealed that plan to you and to me and to all mankind. God did not reveal His complete plan all at once. Have you ever wondered why, as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, He did not send Christ immediately to die? He did not send Christ immediately, keeping His plan a secret throughout patriarchal and Jewish ages. Why was that? Well, it was because man was not ready. Man could not understand the true sinfulness of sin, how terrible it was and what it could be and what it could lead to. Nor could they understand the need of a Redeemer. And so God, in His wisdom, began to prepare man. Man had to be prepared. He had to be taught. He had to be tutored in various ways to be able to see the importance of God's plan of redemption that would be fulfilled in Christ Jesus. You know, we talk about going into a room and that's dark and using a light to shed light on that we can see where we are and what's in the room, whatever it may be. But if you go into a dark room and all of a sudden somebody shines a bright light right in your face, you're blinded. You can't see anything until you become adjusted to it and your eyes become adjusted to it as well. And so for the sudden plan of redemption to come on man when he wasn't ready for it, when he didn't understand what would be involved in it, God had to build that plan and He had to reveal it in such a way that when it was revealed, man could look back and see the greatness of God's plan and how it applied to them and to you and to me. It is important. So let's look at the plan's development. How did God develop this great plan of redemption? It had a purpose. It was not an afterthought. Listen to Ephesians 3, verse 9, beginning. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of ages had been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2 and in verse 7, But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained from the ages for our glory. This should point out to you how important God considers your soul and my soul. Its importance is seen in that God planned a plan for its salvation from eternity. It was paramount, even before time began, that God would have a plan whereby a man might be redeemed, saved from his sins. It seems that this was almost the first thing that God said needs to be in place. And that is a plan for the redemption of man. So He had a purpose. The salvation of man's soul. He also promised this redemption to mankind. First, it was began, inkling of it is in Genesis 3 and in verse 15. And again, that's when He talked to the serpent and to Eve about their seed. And that the seed of woman would bruise the head of the serpent, a death blow. The serpent would bruise the heel, a temporary entry to the seed of the woman. There was a seed that would be coming that God would provide for mankind. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, in the first three verses, when God was telling Abraham that he needed to go to a land where he would give him, he made again a promise to him that included a land promise and a nation promise and a seed promise, that of his seed all nations would be blessed. Paul refers to this promise in Galatians 3. In verse 8, he says, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, 'In you all the nations shall be blessed.'" And then in verse 16, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, 'And to seeds as of many,' but as of one, 'And to your seed, who is Christ.'" And so the seed would come through Christ. The early promise was not fully understood. These prophets, they didn't understand all that they were prophesying about this coming of the seed. But though they did not understand it all, it gave them hope. In Hebrews 11, in that great list of the heroes of faith, there's sort of an intermission that is made there between the first part of the list and then the remainder part of the list. And he says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be their God, but He has prepared a city for them." And so in this plan's development, we have God had a purpose for that plan. He promised it. And then he begins to slowly to reveal it. Many of the Old Testament prophecies of the Redeemer and the system to come can be found as we go through the prophets, the major and minor prophets, and as we go through some of the recording historical events that took place, we find about the Redeemer and the promised seed that is coming. For example, in Jeremiah 31, beginning with verse 31, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds, and I will write on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Another passage that shows us this prophecy concerning God's plan is found in Isaiah 53, beginning with verse 1. "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before its shearers is silent. And so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Written hundreds of years before Christ. We can see it. We can see all of it. But here in prophecy, it was being foretold. God's plan was being revealed as how they could recognize it and see when that plan was coming and being used. Various types were used by God of shadows and types and shadows. The tabernacle, blood sacrifices, the priesthood, on and on, various things to try to illustrate to those in New Testament times as to how we approach God and what it means to be in the priesthood, what it means to serve as a priest in the kingdom of the Lord, what it means to be a child of God, what it means to obey Him. Even the prophets didn't understand all of this. It was a problem. Peter wrote about that in 1 Peter, the first chapter, and beginning in verse 10. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. All of this was to be revealed at a later time. God made preparations for this fulfillment of his plan. He keeps delivering more and more to us. Now he's got to prepare for its implementation. And so he first sends John the Baptist to prepare the way for Christ. And we know of the one who was crying in the wilderness. And we know of the one who was making way for Christ and identified him as the Lamb of God and baptized him. Heard the Father say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." He sent John the Baptist then for preparing the way. Jesus would choose men that called apostles. He would instruct them and prepare them for the work of revealing the plan. The plan had not been revealed, but it was in the process of being developed. But he had these men to begin to prepare and to reveal the plan of God, God's great plan of redemption. The thing that was unique to the Jews was this plan of redemption of God's was for all nations. For all people. It was not just for the Jew. It was not just for the Greeks. It was for all nations. Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 19, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Perfection is what we expect from God. And the perfection of that plan is seen in its fulfillment. The plan was centered on Christ being sacrificed for our sins. In Acts 13, beginning in verse 32, "And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, and that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.'" In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in chapter 5 and verse 17, "Do not think that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." You know, the grand climax of the Bible is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Prophecies for ages had been pointing to that time. And so when they were pointing to that time and that time arrived, then the zenith was there. Christ died, buried, and there was the resurrection from the dead. This is where God's love and God's justice meet. In Romans 3, beginning with verse 24, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through the faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed." So God's plan been revealed. The plan completed in Christ's resurrection. The revelation then began with the New Testament apostles and prophets when Christ arose from the dead and departed this world. On the day of Pentecost, we have God's plan of redemption revealed completely for the first time to mankind. And as a result of that, it began with these apostles and the New Testament prophets that had been given spiritual gifts. Some of them were prophets. And they would make known this plan of God to others. Paul wrote to the Corinthians about this in his first letter. He said in chapter 2, beginning with verse 11, "For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Spirit, Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Within a few years, the plan was completely revealed and completely written down. And God's plan, His saving power, is made known through the gospel. We read in Romans, the first chapter, verses 16 and 17, the power. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," that is the gospel of Christ, "for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek. For it is in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Later in the sixth chapter, in verses 17 and 18, he says, "But God be thanked, that though you were slaves of sin, you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness." It is something that is universal. The plan applies to all who will hear and obey. In Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be condemned." This plan of God will be in effect until the end of time, until He returns. Matthew, the 28th chapter, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, or the end of the world." There's no hope. Grasp this. There is no hope for those who reject this plan of God that He developed before time began. In 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verses 7 through 9. "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." God's plan is perfect for its purpose, for the salvation of the soul. As we can see, the Bible clearly reveals His plan to all today. It is there for us to make the choice as to whether we will obey or whether we will not obey. It is our duty to obey His plan, and in order that our souls might be redeemed, we must obey it. Have you obeyed that plan? The Lord tells us, "Without faith is it impossible to please God," Hebrews 11 and verse 6. "For he that cometh to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." The plan involves repentance, being sorry for our sins, to turn from them, to repent. It involves confessing our faith that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He rose from the dead. It involves us being buried in the waters of baptism raised to walk in newness of life. That's where we make contact with the shed blood of Christ for our sins. God's plan is fulfilled through His Son. And that plan is not just for one special nationality of people. That plan is implemented for all in the world. We walk upon the face of the earth to obey and to enjoy the blessings of obedience to God's plan of salvation. He loved us enough to provide the plan, to provide the sacrifice, and to provide the revelation of His will so that we might know it. Or have you made a choice to obey? Have you made a choice to follow His plan of salvation? If you haven't, now would be a wonderful time to do so. Have you become unfaithful and fallen away? You've not been one who has lived in a way that would bring glory and honor to the Lord. You brought reproach to the body of Christ, it's publicly known. He says, if you are willing to repent of that, confess your sin, and pray to Him for forgiveness, He will forgive you and remember Him against you no more. God's wonderful, beautiful plan, from beginning to its consummation, till its implementation, we can have a joy of heaven by obeying that plan and teaching it to others. If you're here this morning and subject to the invitation of the Lord, we pray that you come while together we stand and sing.